moment when death is swallowed up in victory. We know that was all won on the cross and in the empty tomb. And we're here to rejoice in Christ our Savior tonight. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to pick up tonight at verse 9. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's word tonight. 2 Peter 1, verse 9. The word of God says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have together, to gather with the saints, together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to pray together, to rejoice in answered prayers, to rejoice in your grace and the victory we have in Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to bring our petitions and supplications before you, the needs that we have, so many. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. We pray for grace. Father, we pray for salvation for the lost, for surrender for the saved, that we could all die to ourselves and live fully unto you. Lord, thank you for this time to sing your praises and this time to open your word. And I pray that you will fulfill your promises, that your word will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish what you have sent it to do in our lives tonight. Please convict us of our sin and help us, give us the grace we even need to repent. And Father, I pray that you help us to have faith, to believe your word. Give us the strength and empowering of the Spirit to fulfill your word, to obey, to keep the things that you've commanded us. And Lord, help us to remember. Remember who you are and what you've done. Remember who we are in Christ. And Lord, help us to live our lives in the assurance of the truth and power of your word. Please help and bless now, for I am nothing without you, and we desperately need you. And we pray for your help and your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We spent some time last week walking through the addition that God calls us to and in growing spiritually. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he walks through the reality that it's the divine power of God that has given you faith. You have obtained like precious faith with the saints before, and it's only by the grace of God, the gift of God. But we don't just rest in our faith, just believing in Jesus, but we are to grow in our faith. And we walk through all those things we need to add to our faith, and adding to our faith these things. And then he says in verse 9, "But he that lacketh these things," if you lack the addition of the things that we studied last week, and we'll not take the time to go back over those, I would encourage you to back up and read those and study those things out. But we want to add to our faith. And if you're not adding to your faith, the Bible says that you have forgotten and that you are blind. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. The Word of God says that we have a spiritual blindness if we're not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you are not growing spiritually, you have a spiritual blindness and you can't see your true spiritual condition. A person who is not growing in their faith, that's not adding to their faith, is going to be in a condition where they have no assurance of their salvation. If you're not walking with Jesus and growing in Christ, you may truly be born again. You may be a genuine believer, but you will not have assurance of your salvation because you're not growing up. You're spiritually blind. You won't feel saved and you won't see spiritual truths. He says here in verse 9 that you have forgotten, the one who is not growing and adding, he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So this blindness is in somebody who has had their sins purged, had their sins taken away. They've been cleansed from their sins. Not only do they have spiritual blindness, but they have spiritual amnesia. Amen. Spiritual amnesia. There's no confidence, living in doubt and fear. And I just want to remind you tonight that if Jesus Christ has ever purged your sins, they're still purged. If you've ever been born again, you are still born again. If you've ever been given life everlasting, you still have eternal life. You ought to rejoice in those truths tonight. So we can forget when we lack these things, when we lack the addition of virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. When those things are lacking in our lives, it gives us spiritual blindness. It gives us spiritual amnesia. And so he says in verse 10, wherefore rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. And so we need to give diligence. Remember, he told us at the beginning of the list, adding to your faith, it takes diligence, it takes effort, it takes, you're saved and completely by the work of God, but you mature and you have to put effort into that. Certainly it's God working in you, but he requires us to give diligence. He requires us to study. He requires us to subdue the flesh so that the spirit can thrive. Producing spiritual fruit causes the believer to know he has truly been called and chosen. Again, so much of this deals with our assurance. And when we give diligence, we can make our calling and election sure. It's really important that we understand this. Being diligent in growing spiritually does not cause you to have a calling. It does not cause you to be elected. In other words, being diligent and growing is not what saves you, and it certainly doesn't keep you saved, but it gives you assurance that you are. Amen. Is everybody with me right now? Amen. Being diligent and growing spiritually does not make you saved. It does not make you elect. It does not make you called of God. What it does is gives you assurance that you are called. It gives you assurance that you have been chosen by God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So those things don't save you. It gives you an assurance. It makes them sure. It gives an assurance. It's a testing and approving of your faith in Christ. Remember, fruit is evidence of our salvation. Spiritual fruit is evidence. It's not a condition of our salvation. Amen. It's evidence. Amen. We got to remember this. We are not saved by works. We're only ever saved by grace. If you do these things, you shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here's the picture, friends. God has granted you faith. He's granted you repentance unto salvation. We all understand that tonight, right? There's no way you would ever come to Christ if it wasn't for his goodness. But Christ was lifted up, and Christ has drawn all men into himself. He died to pay the price, and his spirit convicted you of your sin. He convinced you of your sin. You heard the gospel, and the gospel light shined into your heart, brought you to a place where you would repent and believe. That's all the work of God. Amen. None of us would ever seek out God. He came to us. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so God did that great work, and he says, listen, if that's a reality, if you have faith in Christ, if you have obtained the like precious faith that gives everlasting life, if that's true in your life, then add to your faith. And when you add to your faith, you're going to have assurance. You're going to prove that you've been called. You're going to prove that you've been chosen. You're going to prove that you've been born again by the way you live your life. Because if the Spirit of God lives in you, you are a new creature in Christ, and you ought to live like it.
Amen.
Okay? And this is the way we ought to enter into the everlasting kingdom, walking in diligence to grow in Christ. And so I don't know whether you think this way, probably not, because most people don't think the way I think, but it begs the question to me that if someone professes Christ, they say they've been born again, they say their faith is in Christ alone, but they don't add to their faith virtue, they don't add to their faith knowledge, they don't add to their faith the things that we studied, and he says if we're lacking these things, yes, I said it and I believe it, you can come to a place where you forget that you were purged from your own sins, but listen, our lifestyle ought to prove that we are going into the everlasting kingdom by faith in Jesus. It ought to be demonstrated by our life. And so listen, if these things aren't demonstrated in your life, at the very least, it ought to cause you concern. If you have no desire for the things of God, if you have no desire for virtue, if you have no desire to know him, you ought to, at the very least, examine your heart whether you be in the faith.
Amen.
Now, these things that we study in Scripture that deal with evidence and proof, These are not for us to go and judge other people.
Amen.
But they're for us to examine our own hearts. And I cannot comprehend why it's so much in our nature. When we study about these things, we want to go look at other people. You know, I don't think that guy's even saved. Listen, it's not for you to judge.
Amen.
And whether that person is saved or not, the answer for you is to pray for them and give them the gospel. Not to try to decide. It is for us to examine our hearts, whether we are growing, whether we're being diligent in growing. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, that is, in this body, even to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. In other words, Peter says, I know I'm going to die soon. Jesus already told me that. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So Peter says this. He says, if you're not growing up spiritually, you have spiritual blindness and you have spiritual amnesia. And he says, as long as I'm alive, I think it's good for me to remind you of the things you already know.
Amen.
Did you see what he said? Though ye know them, verse 12, and be established in the present truth. Even though you're established in the truth, even though you are in the faith, even though you know these things, it's important for me to remind you of these things. And I think it's good for me to keep reminding you until I'm dead so that you'll remember them after I'm gone. And Peter had a pastor's heart. We all like to think about Peter and all of his mess ups, but I'm telling you, When he went out and wept bitterly, he came back a changed man. He was never the same after that. He denied Christ, but he went out and wept bitterly. He came back a changed man. Jesus said when that happened, he would be converted. He would be changed from one thing into another. And Jesus turned him into a pastor. That's what he did. Remember, when he saw the Lord after he'd risen the third time, there on the seashore of Galilee, remember Jesus gave him some fish? You guys remember that? Jesus told him, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And I am persuaded that Peter did that diligently till the day he died. And the historical record is that he was crucified upside down. I have no reason to doubt that at all. He was crucified. He requested that they do it upside down because he said he didn't feel worthy to be crucified upside right like his Savior. And he gave his life to shepherding the people that God had called him to shepherd, and he was faithful in that work, feeding them. And he said, I want to remind you of the things that you know already. So can you guys just stay with me for a second? Some of you have been coming to church a long time. I'd say amen, build on. Wait, thank you. Long time. Long time. Yeah. Some of you have been here prenatally and ever since. Right? There's something in our flesh sometimes when the pastor stands up or the Sunday school teacher stands up and opens the scriptures to something you're familiar with, and you tend to tune out a little bit because you think you already know it. It's not enough to have heard it before. We need to know him through it. It's not enough to have heard it before. We need to remember it. I'm going to tell you that God works through helping us remember his word. You read just a little bit of history about some people who have been persecuted for the faith. You know when Russia came into other countries like Romania and started arresting Christians and throwing them in prison, did you know they didn't let them take their Bibles with them? Shocking, isn't it? They hated God, and they hated the word of God, and they hated the gospel. They didn't let them take their Bibles. Listen, whatever Bible they took with them is what they had hidden in their hearts. They had to remember it. And it's happening all over the world today in places. We've got to have the word with us. Remember it. Remember the word. He said, I want to put you in remembrance of the things. That's why we've got to hide his word in our heart. That's why we've got to meditate on his word. That's why we've got to listen to the things we've heard before so that we'll know it. repetition, they say, is the key to learning, and I know that that's certainly true for me, and I'm persuaded it is for you as well. And he says, I want to stir you up by remembrance. And can I just ask you tonight, does it not stir up your heart sometimes when you hear the old story?
Amen.
Does it not stir up your heart when you hear the scriptures again? Does it not stir up your heart when you hear about him again in the song? He says, I'm going to remind you in every way that I can. History would place this letter about 40 years after the events of John 21, when Jesus told him to feed his lambs, to feed his sheep, and then he told him that there's going to be a time that men are going to take you where you don't want to go. He told him, signifying the death that he would die. And listen, for 40 years, he was faithful to do that work. 40 years, he wanted them to remember. But his time was drawing near. So through this chapter, we've seen the divine power of God that gives us faith. We've seen the process of spiritual growth that we talked about last week. Here we see that there needs to be a remembering. We need to be reminded that we've been purged from our old sins. There need to be a reminder that we're new creatures in Christ. And can I share with you these last few verses that we can be assured?
Amen.
Be reminded and be assured. Verse 16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So tonight we want to be reminded, but we also want to be assured. The Bible is a more sure word of prophecy, and get this, it's eyewitnesses over fables. He said we didn't follow fables, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They got to go into the mount. Peter, James, and John, they got to be there when Christ was transfigured before them. They got to know the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier in the chapter, we saw another time in the Greek where there was one article. When it talks about God and our Savior, there's only one definite article. What it means is God our Savior.
Amen.
Not talking about Jesus and God the Father, but talking about Jesus as God and Savior. You have the same thing in the Greek here when it speaks about this power and coming. It's one definite article, and it means this, the powerful coming. They got to see Jesus in his power. They got to see him in his glory. They got to see his majesty. They were eyewitnesses. They got to hear the honor and glory that he received from God the Father. They heard the voice from the excellent glory. They heard the voice from heaven. They heard the voice in the holy mountain. This is my beloved Son. This one, in other words, the Father says, this one is the same as me. This one is the same in essence as me. He is God.
Amen.
All these declarations of the divinity of Christ, that he is deity, he is God. And he said, we were eyewitnesses. We didn't bring fables. We brought what we saw. But then he does something amazing. Instead of trying to build himself up by what he had seen, by the revelation that God had given him, he says this, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Instead of building himself up and saying, hey, you just need to listen to us, we were there, he says, not only is it's eyewitnesses over fables, it's scripture over experience. It's scripture over experience. We saw him, we heard the voice from heaven, but we have something better. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have something more sure than eyewitness accounts. And eyewitness accounts are great. But we have something even better. Amen. More, someone said it like this, Scripture is more complete, more permanent, and more authoritative than the experience of anyone. It's more complete, more permanent, and more authoritative than the experience of anyone. And so we have Scripture over experience. And what do we do with that? We take heed as unto a light in a dark place. Anybody been anywhere dark lately? I think it gets dark at about 3:30 now. Time change? Not exactly, but it feels like it. And I don't know what happens because we moved our clocks back, so you all got an extra hour. But it sure doesn't feel like it. Amen. I mean, you guys tell me, it's, I don't know, 7-something right now, but it feels about like 9-something, doesn't it? Amen. I can tell by the yawns and the looks on your faces. Some of you could be blindfolded right now with dental floss. You can explain it later. Sometimes the jokes land immediately, and sometimes they take a while to, sometimes they got to percolate. Sometimes when you go in the dark, you need a light. There's been a couple of times I've been outside lately when there's not a moon and it's really, really dark. Amen. 7 o'clock, it could be pitch black. Amen. And you want a light because you don't want to step on a copperhead. Amen. Right? Or a stick that you might think is a copperhead. I don't want one of the coons that live in the tree right outside my door to attack me. You want a light because you want to be able to see where you're going. Because there are possibilities for things to be dangerous in the dark. Like that one piece of furniture that always breaks your little toe. Right? Take heed as unto a light in a dark place. And here's the problem. We're going through our lives and we think we can see. We're going through our lives in this world and we think that it's plenty bright enough, but spiritually, this world is dark. Amen. It's pitch black and we need the light of the Word of God to walk by. Amen. And we need that light until the day dawn and the day star rise in our hearts, until Christ comes again. We need light, and that light is the Word of God. Be careful, pay attention by the light of the Scriptures, because there are false teachers in this world who would lead you astray. Satan would deceive you. He would lead you in the wrong path. And we have the truth. We have light. We have light. I can't help but think about the times I've been in those caverns when they turn all the lights out. And they'll light one candle and it'll light up a whole room. I think about how bright the Word of God and just a little bit of Scripture can light up so much. And then he says, no prophecy is of private interpretation. That prophecy did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This idea of interpretation, it means loosing. Scripture didn't originate by any person untying the truth. The Bible is not the product of men. God used men, but they were born along by the Spirit of God. This moved by the Spirit is the same word we get when Paul and his friends were in the ship and the wind drove them. The same way the wind moves a ship in the water is the same way the Spirit of God moved these men as they wrote the Scriptures. It's not given by men. And there are a lot of accusations that people make against the Word of God that are refuted here. One is, people say the Bible was written by men, and it wasn't. It was written by God. People say that the Bible was a fable. It's a myth. It was made up. And here we have that it was not a myth, it was not a fable, but it was eyewitnesses who saw his glory. Eyewitnesses who would give their very life for the truth that they knew. But then the eyewitness saying, we've got something better than what we saw. We have the scriptures, the word of God. So I want you to get this as he walks us through this first chapter, starting with the power that God has given us and the process that we need to grow. And then he says, you need to remember these things so you don't forget that you were purged from your sins. And then he ends this chapter with this. It's all because of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We start with faith. Well, that comes from the word of God. It comes from God. It's a gift from God, but it's born out of the word of God in your hearts. And so that beginning with faith, and it doesn't happen unless we have the scriptures. And so remember that you've been purged from your sins. Remember that God has given us his word. Be assured of his word that you can trust the Bible tonight. Tonight, I'm gonna ask our musicians to come. And we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. I want to ask you to stand with me. God's word warns us to turn away from fables and trust in the word of God, not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn you away from the truth. And we are so blessed today to have the living word of God. Amen. And what a shame. What a shame that it sits in our homes collecting dust and we don't study it. What a shame that we've got the Bible apps installed on our phones and we don't listen to the scriptures and read the scriptures as we go through our lives each day. I just want to challenge you, give diligence. Be diligent in the Word of God. We want our young people to learn to be diligent. It's one of the benefits, they tell me, of sports, because they learn to be diligent. They learn to stick with something. I'm going to tell you what, they're far better to be diligent in the Word of God than anything else. Let's be faithful. Be examples to our children, our grandchildren, and let's be diligent, all of us who have faith in Christ, to add to our faith, and we do that through the word of God. If he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.